Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June, at long last.
At long last.
I can't believe I used to go this long without a verbal check-in, because I felt just lost. I felt lost the last 2 weeks, not knowing. I could feel you. I could feel where you were, which was
not in a
the
good
ending
place.
Of the ending of something, the ending of something beautiful, which for me is almost unbearable. So much so that I'm feeling it for you.
You know what? I do think you are a bit of an empath.
I don't know. Maybe, is that really the new word we're using for dysregulated? Because I like it better.
There's no dis.
It has a better ring.
It has a better ring.
I'm an empath. Hi. I'm an empath. It's like futuristic. I like it.
I do think you are. So I am in an ending, Jessica, and I'll tell you what I've learned about myself. And I have 2 more weeks in this ending. So I have this week and I have this week and one day of next week. Oh. And then Deep Divers, I do end the series Grace and Frankie, which I've been on for 7 years.
I'm sorry. What are you, Modern Family? I mean, this is like
7 years, 7 años. And it's interesting. I'm learning something about myself. And I have a really difficult time closing. I didn't know this about myself, but I'm struggling with it.
Yeah. In what sense? Is it crushing sadness? Is it a feeling of panic? Is it not knowing how to say goodbye?
I think it's goodbyes are really hard for me.
Yeah.
And I wish I could just live in sadness with it. And I am in sadness. You know, we did the last table read last week over a lunch and I just bawled, you know.
Yeah, I just can't handle that.
I couldn't handle it. And it's a part, I think what I'm really struggling with is also, it's going to sound insane, but I'm really struggling with the end of these two characters, Grace and Frankie.
Yes.
I really am. I'm like, I love these women so much.
That you want them to continue living forever.
Yes. And because they're both like mother figures to my character. And I'm out of my head about it. When they did the last table read, I was like, I can't handle this. And I love them so much. And I don't want to say goodbye. And it was really, really hard. And I wasn't prepared for that, you know? I was like, I'm going to miss the crew, I'm going to miss the experience. I'm going to miss all of the lovely feeling of knowing you have a job to go back to, feeling comfortable on the set, all of those things. Like, yes. But the actual characters that exist,
because that's fictional. I know. But yet they're real.
Creation, but they are so real to me. And I'm just awfully sad. You know,
it's like saying goodbye to Pete's dragon. He was a cartoon, but he was very real to that girl. And, you know, I really felt like so much of the 70s and all the drugs that were done bled into the cartoons that we watched. And
and
in that was there was so much animation with human people, with real people. They would then throw in a cartoon world, which is just too much for any adult or child to handle. You know, I'm thinking Pete's Dragon, I'm thinking Bed Knobs and Broomsticks, like mm-hmm. all of it was too much. But yeah, like you're saying goodbye to this figment of everybody's imagination, but has become, because they are, it was such a good so show. Rich.
Yeah.
So real for people. And once that cut, you know, they cease to get more stories that you have to watch them walk Jessica, away.
Jessica.
And like please. Disappear into the fog. I mean, that's how I felt about Playing House. And it's why I really still to this day cannot let it go. Like, yeah. I didn't want to let those girls go. I couldn't imagine saying goodbye to that house. Mm-hmm. When we got the call, I mean, it was just so fucking crazy. And now this is different because it's ending naturally, but still, like, why can't it just go on forever?
And
why
can't everything... So I am trying to, like, really understand, like, really sit with, like, okay, it is such a privilege to be able to be a part of something, a creative project, and know it's coming to an end and like not be canceled. Yes. You know what I mean? And be like,
when okay, get that phone call where yes. like your yes. life is upended. Yes.
Like we have the yes. And I know that and we can say goodbye. And it's not just like between seasons where you're like, we're not coming back. Like that's terrible. But I also am like, this is pretty hard too, actually. And I don't know. I think this is so crazy, but because I did not get to see my own mother age, there's been something about seeing these two women like reclaim like space in their older age, create more space for the rest of us as we age and open possibilities yeah. for us. And there's just been something that I've been like really like about the experience of being with these two unbelievable legends and women.
Icons,
but who also have like maternal positions in, you know, relation to who I play on the show, that has been really healing and like a piece of that in my life. And I know deep divers, if you're not actors or creatives, I'm sure this sounds insane, but it is like when you are an artist and go fully into the work. And it's really hard to separate. And I'm just having a really hard time with it. I don't want to say goodbye. I don't want to not see them. And I love Grace and Frankie. I love those women. And I'm just sad, you know? And I yeah. wish, here's what I wish. What's coming up for me is like, I also, the theatrics of saying goodbye, like the rituals around saying goodbye, I don't do well with.
I don't either. I'd like to meet someone who does.
I guess that's
true. I'd like to just disappear in the night. Like on college graduation, I was so dysregulated that no joke, I left a party. First of all, I didn't know where to be that at 10 p.m. the night before we graduated, everyone's like staying up with the dawn and hugging their friends. I left the party by myself and I went to bed. I couldn't handle it. That's a regret. I carried through with the rest of it. I went to bed in my futon, this like horrible lumpy futon. And I just went to bed alone crying. And oh everyone was like, what did you get up to? We missed you down at the pond. And I was like, I was alone crying alone. Like I couldn't handle.
I understand this. I want
this to end. And there are people who were like, I'm going to Montana. You know, they all had their jobs. And I was just like, I'm a shell of myself. Yes. How is everyone getting by?
Yes, I understand this. And it's why, like, I have been committed to this last week. And really this whole last season of feeling like I am going to soak in every moment and I do want yes. to be very present for this experience. I am worried because I get strange too. I get strange, you know, and I don't want to be strange.
I know. Of course, Brooklyn will handle it perfectly. She will have the perfect gifts that are just
she's shopping today.
Maybe they'll be monogrammed.
Of course they will be.
She will have given herself time and she will have journaled and she will show up present and beautiful. And yeah. somehow you'll either like get a flat tire on your way. Like, I don't know what I just don't want you to think about what you might not want to regret.
Which has already come up for me. Like, I yelled at Brooklyn the other day. She's like, you know what I mean? Like, she simply asked me, like, hey, you seem a little off this morning. And I was like, don't ever say that to me. From off of all. She's like, whoa, man. And I was like, I am off. And it's okay. Like, don't call out that I'm always off. She's off.
Just trying to reach out to say, like, can I help you?
Yeah, she's just being a normal friend, you know? And I don't know, you know, I can be moody. I can be a grump. And I'm having
the anger is hiding. Your anger is hiding the deep sadness. So that's what you have to be.
I know. And sometimes I do try to explain to people. I do believe that's true, that anger's hiding deep sadness. But then sometimes anger just, I think, might just be anger.
Well, if anger.
And no more or less.
There is also true anger to a situation changing before you're ready for it to change. I mean,
but I don't know that I'd ever be ready, Jess. That's the other thing.
Well, you wouldn't. I never will be ready. I will hang on to you until you push me, you know, into an ongoing train. I can't, you know, as you've told Paul, like, I would hunt Dan. I would hunt him. If he tried to leave me, I would hunt him until his last days. You know, and that's where it would go, you know, for me. Like, if you just don't take this from me. Dan made me laugh so hard because we have to drive in order to get to set. I have to drive past this Brent Cross shopping center. And it's the first shopping center mall to ever exist in London. And the Queen opened it in 1975. And it's so ugly from the outside. It's just so ugly. And there is what looks to be a haunted amusement park in front of it. They've taken one of the parking lots. And I think it's the graveyard of all of, like, when a Carney show, you know, when they have all these fairs that pop up. And I think that's where they store the things because they're never working. You know?
Interesting. And, okay. How creepy.
It's so creepy. It's so, anyway, as we were driving by and I was talking about how it's been crazy to be here. And also I will really miss everyone because we really don't know. Will we ever do this again? No one knows. And he said, you know, you guys are really, you're nothing more than Carney folk, you know, just like these people packing up, you know, the tilt-a-whirl and the helter-skelter.
Heading to the next town.
Yeah. But, you know, we're different than that because those people stay together. I've seen them in their trailers. They all live in their trailers. They hook up their generators. And I believe they're all together from town to town. It's different for us because we have to say goodbye to our fellow Carnies and go meet new ones.
So hard.
Oh, you know,
God, that's so true. It's so hard. And, you know, it's like, I wish we were Carney folk. You know, I wish we were.
Yeah, but I wish it was Canterbury Tales and we were traveling together, a troupe of medieval performers.
Yeah.
And we would go from place to place and we'd at least have each other all the time because we don't. And now I have to say, you know, and I fall so hard for people. Oh, God,
I fall in love. Like, I fall in so love. You know, in love with these people.
Yeah.
I know. And that's what's, like, so wonderful, right? But it is also, I think, the passage of time, too. I mean, I started the show when Gus was 10 weeks old.
That's right.
I auditioned for it when he was 3 weeks old.
But that's, yes.
He's seven.
I know. I know.
So it's like that, and then also... then I had Sam. My dad was sick. I lost my father. Like, life and death sort of experiences have happened through the course of this. And I'm just, I'm just really struggling with the goodbyes. I'm really struggling. And I want to be a normal person. And I know I won't be. And I know I won't be satisfied. It won't be satisfying. You know, and I know walking away, I'll feel lonely. And like you ran up to your bed and put yourself to bed. Like, I do fear that part of myself that's just like, I'm not engaging. I know this is wrong, but I can't do this. You know, it's hard.
No, I was going to say, I'm trying to think about how you can do this so that there aren't any regrets at the very least. Yeah. It's still going to be all those painful things. But I'd like you not to put yourself to bed alone. And I do wonder if it's just saying out loud to people what you just said to me. Like, for you to say to Jane, Jane, I just want to tell you, I'm so terrible at goodbyes.
Yeah.
And I'm so madly in love with you and the character that you created. And I'm so terribly sad. And so I want you just to know that if I seem like an alien life form to you this week, like, please know that I just want to say out loud, like, how deeply you mean to me. And then yes. You don't have to feel like that you need to say it in a toast or something. Like, you've said it randomly to her service table, where she probably never goes because her body is like banging, you know?
I do think that, okay, this is what I've thought of so far, is I think I am going to write something.
I love
for
that.
When I rap. And
I
think I'm going to write something because I don't trust myself to get my words out. So I'm going to write it. And then I think I'm going to just say it and say I'm going to need a minute to say a few things to the cast and crew. And I think I will say those things, and that will be that. And if people are not gathered around, if it's not like set up, if it's like nobody wants you to say anything, like, I think that's okay. If there's one person listening, I'm okay with that. But I do feel like I have to say a few things, you know? And what's coming up for me is, and I'm sure deep divers, those of you who have experienced deep grief, like, understand how difficult it is to say goodbye, because it's like, I want to trust that these experiences and lessons, that they do stay with you, you know, as much as like this chapter's over, that you can stay connected, you know, without physically being in proximity with someone or an experience, like, because I do know
it doesn't
vanish.
It doesn't vanish. Just like you said with your house, with your childhood house, you take it with you.
Like, yes. So, Jessica, I'm so sorry. I'm like such a wreck, you know.
I really feel like crying, and it's not my goodbye. That's why that's something's wrong with me. I am dysregulated. But yes, no, I knew. I just been just looking at your Instagram and just seeing that you and Brooklyn together. And I just, I know that feeling. I know it so well. And there's also an excitement to it, because there's something new coming. And
I don't have that yet. I'm looking forward to that. Right. I don't have that excitement yet.
No, I just live in terror, terror.
Yeah.
And that's what's waking me up. What's so interesting for me is, like, you know, I'll be in a job. I'm currently employed.
Yeah.
And yet I am starting to wake up at 4:30 a.m. like, oh, I got to get another job. And like sending desperate emails to the team. They haven't heard from me in years. I'm like, I heard about a movie. I saw a trailer shooting. Somebody's shooting near me.
I know this movie is about to come out, but if they open it up for any reason, maybe they animate me into it. I just like think of me kindly.
Yeah. So like part of me, I move to the anxiety about the next step so that I can't even enjoy the current step, you know, and that's really and trusting that there will be another good experience coming, because I just assume I'll be on the set of Alf if I'm lucky. Do you know what I heard about Alf? So, you know, Alf was a real piece of shit.
The
alien life
form.
Yeah,
okay.
The man who was the creator of it, I guess, he was very, you know, he was sexually aggressive to people
this. Yes.
And it was like, and it's like, I don't know if there was cocaine involved or whatever. Again, do I know this man? I don't. But he was a real asshole. So you'd like, you'd dread it if you had a one-on-one with him, which you usually did because he was in every scene.
Yeah, the show's
and,
called Alf.
You
yeah.
know, yeah. And it's very uncomfortable to be sexually harassed by a puppet. But I guess everybody was so miserable that the last, I read in IMDb or something that the last episode finale of Alf that ran for like 9 years, the guy who played the dad, just silently got in his Toyota Tercel and drove away and never said a word. He didn't say goodbye to one person because, so, you know, like, wow. I'm just terrified at some point I'll wind up on Alf, you know, 2.0. But that hasn't happened yet and it won't happen again. It won't because we have agency over what our next job is, you know, but there's that terror. And also the pandemic has created such unrest and there's no solid footing. I feel like I'm back to when I was in my early 20s and like, I'm like, I hope I get that Bagel Fools commercial, you know, and like Lennon gets it, you know?
I know. I do think, you know, I will say this for myself. I am not going there yet. And I know some might say I should go there, but I'm sort of like, I'm giving myself the time to experience and grieve this like really wonderful, you know, chapter of my life that's coming to a close and really be grateful for it and really celebrate the end of it. And then on to the next. I will say, I do trust. Listen, I'm a Capricorn, Jess. I am
a Virgo.
Okay. So I am always going to work.
And I will always be an abject terror, but I will
work as well, but I will be constantly afraid of every boat.
But I know at the end of the day, and I do think this is because I'm a Capricorn, like, and I'm not even saying in this industry, I'm not saying I'll get all the roles I want and that but I know that I will work.
Right.
If everything fell apart,
I'd find a way. Anyway, Jess, how are you? Thank you for checking in. And I have felt from afar that you've been very understanding of my complete absence when it comes to this podcast right now. And thank you, Deep Divers, for understanding that I am simply not here.
You're not here. And you're here, but you're not. And we had a lovely conversation with Danielle.
I can't wait to listen to it.
She just, you know, as usual, we talked about resilience and it was just, and of course, World War II. And of course, she talked about the Holocaust, which was actually really beautifully done. But yeah, what is happening over here is, you know, the darkness, the gray darkness. I'm just, okay. I'm accepting, it's just not for me. It's not for me. And so I'm going to have to get home to the sun. I got to get to the sun, you know? So about 3 o'clock, I wake up in the dark. It's dark when I wake up.
What time? At 7?
7 a.m. It's dark. It's dark. And I'm finding myself addicted to coffee.
Yeah.
I then all day long want to have that sugar. Like, and this is why I think there are so many sweets, you know, you just want to get those
interesting
sweets in. So I'm trying to not do that. But every day I pick BB up to school, I'm like, let's get a slice of cheesecake. I mean, we're acting like we're, you know, in like the, you were going to the Viennese patisseries every day just to feel something. I'm just biding my time till I can like dig into a tiramisu. Like these are like desserts you would get at the end of a very long and expensive meal. I am eating at 4 o'clock before dinner. And then Dan's like, why is she crying at 5:30? And I'm like, it's not because of the sweets. Like, you know, so yeah. So the darkness and then, but then I've loved being with the people, you know, with my cast. And so there's light, there's dark. I've been listening to an audiobook called, I wanted to share with everybody because I'm really into it. Well, my hairdresser on the show is phenomenal. And he has created a couple hot tools, which are really the real deal. Now, they're not out in the US, but I've told him I'll go on QVC with him because I'm kind of obsessed with these.
Oh, wow.
It's a curling iron that has teeth. So it smooths and then you curl it.
Now, this sounds an awful lot like the Dyson smoothing control system.
No, it's nothing like that. Okay. I hate that.
I can't believe you're on another like hot tool, Jessica.
It's going to be great.
But
I will say your hair looks great right now. Like, I was just admiring. It looks healthy and beautiful.
He cut it. He cut it too. But here, so, but really the gift that he gave me was he created these products, whatever. They're doing great. And he said, you know what you need to check out is the book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, Mastering the Inner Game of Wealth by T. Harv Eker.
Me, Casey, another friend of ours, we would get together once every 3 weeks and had a Millionaire Mind Club.
God damn it. I missed this.
Yes. Where we were hatching up all sorts of schemes. And one of the big ones that a friend of ours who was also a Millionaire Mind devotee, which I still think was a great plan. Like our
a lot of it.
Listen, our whole passive thing was income. Like, how do we get passive income? And one of her things was, and I don't know if they talk about this in the book. Of course, I never read the book. I was probably president of the club and never read the actual book.
Yeah.
But her whole thing was trying to purchase ATM machines.
That's passive income, yeah.
Passive income. And she had a plan, which was to get ATM machines into churches across America. Because, and I still, like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I wonder if I could get this going.
Her get it like, going. She should have done it.
I know. People go to church.
Absolutely.
And they need for, you know, their tithings. And they could, like, she would put a little curtain around it or something to make it kind of discreet. And in like a vestibule or something. And then people would go in there. And so I guess if you own the ATM machine, you get a pretty decent percentage of that charge. I mean, you know, sometimes you go to ATM machines and it's like $3 to take out the 40, you know, something crazy. So that's what we were working on, which was like, how can we get passive streams of income?
That's right. So just so the listeners, you know, understand what we mean by active and passive. But basically, active income is like you're working for it. So it's like when we go on to a set, that's active. That day of work is active income. And then passive income is income that you don't actually have to work for it to happen. So that would be like a royalty on a book or
residuals on the work you did on set. And also like passive income is like, well, can you invest in something like launching your own ATM business so that it becomes a passive income stream through the years?
Because they say rich people work really hard and then they don't have to work as hard. And as opposed to someone, the saying that Puritan work ethic, like I have to work hard my whole life. It's like, no, that's what you want to do is make some money and then invest it. Mm-hmm. And I have had such a bad relationship with money. In that I used to blur my, I'm so afraid of it. I've never had carried $1 of debt, not one.
That's so crazy, ever. Jessica. That's so crazy.
You would think, oh, that's so smart. No, my friend.
I don't worry. I don't think that. I don't think that.
It has been a fear. And I've blurred my eyes when I open my statements and I've been afraid of my money. And so this book has been really great in that he's like, you got to fall in love with that money. You need to look at it every day. And he wants you to have a little jar where you put a little bit of money every day just to keep yourself.
Millionaire Mind's been around for a long time. I like that this is like breaking news as though it just came out. Like this has been long time.
I will talk about it as if I co-wrote it. The audio book is bananas because he yells everything at you. He goes, if you're coming to get someone to tell you, you don't have to try something scary, move on. And I'm running through the heath, you know, this very pastoral setting. And I'm yelling out, I have a millionaire mind with my hand. And I'm already a fucking American. So it's already weirder. But I'm like, I will discover passive income. Like, so, you know, that's my latest, like what I'm up to, you know, but I really am like into I want to face
I'm excited about fears this.
And I want
to, I mean, listen, I know brave. That when we did, when we had an episode with Brooklyn, I said to you that I would love to get my eyes on your like accounts and do some sort of like categorizing so we could really figure out some things and like really get into the nitty gritty of it. And we haven't done that. Again, deep divers, we're going to say a lot of things that we're not going to follow up on. You know, we're going to make like, a lot of promises and proclamations that will simply fall away.
When you're panning for gold, okay, you don't take like a tiny teaspoon of sand and start to look through that. You got to dump a bunch of sand in there. And some of these little
some
things,
of these things,
nuggets,
yeah, they rise
the gold
to the top.
Nuggets will rise to the top.
Yes.
Listen, I sent you a text. I'm using the cow. We have a family calendar, my friend. Everything goes on the calendar.
That's
the
thrill.
Google calendar.
That's a thrill. So that rose to the top.
It fuck you. Now, listen, we only have, I put everything, there is no separate work and family. It just all goes on the cow.
You know what, Jessica? This is like, I struggle sometimes with like the like optimization culture of like, how can I live my best life? And how can I optimize my time and energy and food and body and all that stuff? Yeah. Like, I really struggle with it because sometimes I'm just like, fuck you.
Live?
Like,
yeah,
let's just
yeah.
live. And every moment's a gift and every moment's hard and tragedy happens. And like, I really don't love, you know, being so optimal all the time. I really don't. You know, I think it's like
agreed.
I think
and
it's a road to fucking nowhere. Yeah, but
probably
it is. It's definitely a road to nowhere. But there's certain hacks like that, like the cow, where I'm like, that's a real issue in a marriage. That's a real kind of fucking like a fucked up setup that our culture has, where we have so much extra emotional labor that we do and just labor. And I'm like, outsource it, baby. Outsource it.
Outsource it to an app that is not even costing you anything.
Yes. Yes.
And it's
technology can help us, turns out sometimes.
It can. So if that change can happen, like, I'm really looking forward to this money change happening too. And that's why I say these things on the podcast. I know they're boring, but I want to kind of be accountable for it and just say, hey, if there's anyone listening out there who's also equally afraid of their money, it's, you know, you can be afraid of it when you have lots of it. Mm-hmm. You can be afraid of it when you have zero. But it's like this good old T. Harv, and he does call, I think its name is Harv. I don't know if it's Harvey and he goes by Harv. I don't know. I think it's Harv that he goes by.
Hey.
But what Harv says is you start where you are. You start somewhere. Yeah. You go, okay, here's what I have. And now let me see how I can grow it. And where you put your attention grows. If you put your attention on your money, it will start to increase because you will be paying attention.
Well, I also think that money is a tricky one, right? Because it feels like worth, and it feels like what do we have? What are we worth, you know? And is it attached to that number? And also, what if we are carrying lots of debt? You know, I mean,
yeah.
I remember, and I will say I have been since probably about around 33, I started to be able to get my finances together at around 33.
Yeah.
But I had moments in my 20s, like creditors were calling me every single day. Every single day.
Level must have been through the motherfucking roof.
You know, and I was just like, I hope this works out for me. Or maybe they're going to cart me away. Like, I didn't know. You know, I was late on all sorts of payments. I was constantly overdrawing my bank account. And there is a lot of shame around that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of shame. And I didn't feel like I could talk to people about it because it was so shameful, you know, for me to like really be honest about how I couldn't get my money together. I didn't know what I had. I didn't have the help. Nobody taught me. And just feeling like really, really badly about it. And it wasn't until I got my first real check as an actor or writer or whatever it was for, that I was able to just pay down all of the stuff that had been haunting me for years, oh, all of my 20s.
Felt so good.
It felt that must really, have felt so really good. And I got it off my back, you know, and I got a fresh start. But I do think that what I wish and what I hope for our deep divers who are listening is that, you know, we don't sit with it alone and feel like isolated and ashamed about poor financial decisions or, you know, what we don't have or what we've gotten ourselves into. Because there, when you're in that place, like I was in my 20s and early 30s, which was like, it was chasing me and it was accruing every month and it was getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, I remember having the thought, like, do I just scrap this identity and restart? Like, do I just say
we had a friend,
adios to June?
We had a friend. We had a friend who, in common, who used to open multiple credit cards under the some insane name that was like a crazy either Italian, like. Anyway, Giuseppe Mortero or something, and he would have, you know, multiple identities, and then when that one would dry up, he would create another one, and he had at some point like 15 credit cards going. Now that
it's hard because fear. Like, yes, and now I look back and I'm like, I have struggling feelings about it, right? Because I'm like, there was a part of me that believed it would work out. There was a part of me that so believed in my own like talent and will and ambition to have a career that I was like willing to roll the motherfucking dice. I am not risk averse. I really am not.
Yes.
And it did pay off for me. You know, I was like, oh, because I did know, as I said, I'm a worker bee. I did know I could become a stockbroker. I could work on Wall Street. I could do really whatever I want to do and make money. That was never my concern. But it was like, oh, do I want to really have a creative life? And I rolled the motherfucking dice. And in doing that, got myself into a lot of debt. And, you know, I knew these creditors by name. They would call my phone. I would turn it off when I didn't use it because the calls were just coming in that quickly.
That's, yes. And
they started to call people I knew, which was upsetting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yep. Like, I remember a friend of mine being like, I got a call from, like, the Geek Squad at Best Buy or, like, Best Buy Collection Services about a computer you bought. And I was like, ooh.
Why? What are they calling your friend to say?
Well, creditors, Jessica, and again, if deep divers, you're aware of this, like, or if you're in this, I send lots of love and encourage you to get on some sort of payment plan that would help, but which I did not do, but until I could pay the whole thing off. But you don't have to do that. You can consolidate, and I but anyway, so creditors will start, they will call you if they don't get through to you, you don't pick up, they will call your employer, they will start to call your family members.
I mean, like the Scientologists, they're trying to break you.
They're trying to collect their debt. And yes, and embarrass you and shame you into paying something.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yep. That's why I get so angry at like multi-level marketing schemes. And after watching the LuLaRue documentary and just like, and creditors that literally just, you know, or credit card companies and housing, all of these things where companies knowingly get people into these situations, because then, yeah, it drives people to suicide. They become so ashamed and overwhelmed that they really do. It drives people to making absolutely terrible decisions.
You know, it's that shame piece that you're talking about. That is the linchpin, because the shame makes you not want to look at it or deal with it. And then that's what makes it worse, because then you're not looking at it and dealing with it. And so then you don't come up with solutions or you don't make good decisions. Like, you know, for me, I'll like, I vary so wildly. Like, I'll be like, let's take a 5-star vacation. And then, like, we'll take it. And then, like, 3 days later, I'm like, oh my God, why do we do that? I don't know where my next job is. Oh my God. Yep. And, like, you know, Dan said, like, there's a, again, he keeps bringing back these amusement park, but there's a, in Rye Playland. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course I know Rye Playland, Jessica. I grew up in Long Island.
Yeah. But was Rye Playland where they shot Big? Is that where that is?
I don't.
Where he goes to get the fortune teller?
Yeah. Know what you're talking about. I don't know that that was Rye Playland.
But yeah, Dan was saying that with me and finances, it's a lot like the Dragon Coaster at Rye Playland. You know, it's, yes. It's, so Cody is saying it was shot at Rye Playland. Okay.
She's saying
so
Rye Park. Is that the same thing as Rye Playland?
Do you mean Rye Playland? Rye Playland is an like old fashioned amusement park. And there's like, you know, so the Dragon Coaster is one of those like wooden,
okay,
you know, roller coasters. And he said, it's a day with you, actually, he said, is a lot like being on the Dragon Coaster. Mm. You know, you go up, 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 and, yep, then crashing down, and then up again, and then crashing down, you know. And so, like, that day where I went bananas and was like, we shouldn't have taken that vacation. Why would you allow me to do that? I went off that roller coaster.
I know.
In so many ways.
But, and listen, so here's part of it. Compassion for ourselves. Like, I do find it very troubling that we don't, like, school systems, like, we don't necessarily give kids the, and my parents were, had their own financial issues and were, you know, in Debtors Anonymous and all sorts of anonymous organizations, and
all of the above,
any group that they could get into, they did. But I just wish there was some more.
Thank you.
Institutional
learning.
Yeah, learning.
Why
around,
are we learning trigonometry?
I know,
and like, we're not learning about what credit cards are and how, what does debt mean? And oh, yes, okay, here's the percentage. What does that mean?
And getting,
you know, how does it accrue?
Yeah, and how to get good credit? Because getting good credit isn't necessarily like paying off, you know, the entire thing and not carrying over any debt every month. But what do you, where do you go when you're in over your head? And how do you set a budget? And how do you figure these things out? Like, those are such valuable life tools that we just, I didn't get.
Home ec. Yeah. What about home ec? Listen, I get it. Home ec was about women learning how to cook. But like, what about home ec for everybody? And that, and not
were
just
we
carry around
to
a
learn, because I made a pillow with a sewing machine, yes, but that's all I did. And we were supposed to learn about budgets and stuff in home ec. Is that
home ec was to learn how to sew and cook for the women so that they would know how to keep a house. And for, I think we were the last generation to have home ec. Now, I remember making a pair of jams, or trying to, out of a very very bold Nautilus kind of fabric. And when I brought them home to my mother, who is a professional seamstress, yeah, I couldn't get my leg through one of those jams. I couldn't through the legs. And she was like, there was nothing she could do except for make another pair of jams,
yeah, sure,
that were
sure,
perfect,
sure,
with the drawstring. And then the teacher was like, what the, did you go buy these? So yeah, home ec, like, I think that's what they need to bring back, like nutrition, budgeting. We, yeah, should have, like, pair me up,
yes,
you know, pair me up with somebody. And let's say this is your household. Oops, you went in the red. You, yeah, know what I mean? Like, don't, I don't want to carry around an egg baby. That never taught anybody anything.
But I'm excited, Jessica, for you to,
I'm excited too.
I mean, I do believe you have a millionaire mind, and I do, you do, I do too, you know?
But yeah, but we have, here's the thing, I know, and you just said, let's not always work on ourselves, and I agree, because that's all I do is listen to how I could do it better. But I do feel like if we don't know something, let's learn about it. Let's ask, and that's what I love, again, about the Deep Diver community, because everyone's sending each other these. And again, I'm so sorry. I'm getting on the Pinterest. This week, I am on the spaceship 24/7. But that means I'm doing a lot of sitting around. I'm going to be updating the Pinterest page because I have so many, many, many great wrecks coming my way. But one I do need to tell you that really changed some things about the inbox. I know you don't have this problem, but one of our deep divers shared with me the app Unroll Me.
Mm.
UNROLL Me. It could not be easier. You put in your email, okay?
Okay.
They go through your entire inbox and unsubscribe you.
Oh.
You just go click, 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 unsubscribe. And every day you click on Unroll Me, they've got another 15. Click, 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 unsubscribe. I swear to God, it's gotten me down to like 5 emails a day.
Wow. That's interesting. Okay.
Unroll Me.
Unroll Woo! Me. I like that. I think I told you about this, but an app called, it is a subscription, but it's called Sane Later or Sane Box. I can't remember. And it does a similar thing, but it puts all of your junk, it like learns you what's important.
Oh, yes.
And then
yes,
it sort of like
about that.
Intuits it and moves things.
Wow.
But listen, my email is a fucking, for anyone who's listening, who's like, why didn't you respond to my texts or emails in the last 2 weeks? Like, I don't know what to tell you. I can't.
You're out of office.
I'm out of office. I'm I cannot even begin to look at it. It is such a.
No, you're triple O's.
I am triple O's right now, Jess. And I just can't.
And I don't want you to be on that inbox.
Thank you, Jess.
To take the next 2 weeks
Thank
and live
you.
Like me. Live like nobody's watching and nobody's getting a response. Live like me.
I think I will, and I think I need to, because I think that it will, if I don't, I won't be honoring this chapter, you know, and I really want to be present for the like rituals and the ceremony around it. I mean, that's what I really wish, honestly. Like, I know we have funerals. I do think funerals and wakes, I think those things really help.
Yeah.
You know, I think those things really help because, and that's
they
why,
do.
My God, everyone who lost someone during COVID, who couldn't honor them,
who couldn't go through.
Yeah. And people weren't having funerals, like couldn't go through the process of grieving and whatever sort of. For me, you know, the funerals of my parents, like it wasn't that I connected to the religion, but I was so glad to have some structure around it. Listen to songs, be a part of a ritual, walk down an aisle, put a flower. All of those things were incredibly important to me. And I do like love a ritual. And just my heart goes out to anyone who couldn't take part in that during COVID. I just can't imagine how hard that must have been.
And a lot of them are happening now.
Good.
I'm noticing. So like we had a dear friend pass and there was a memorial recently for
Good.
Her, even though it was a year ago that, you know, and I think that it really, everybody who I talked to, who went to it were like, it was so good to just do it.
Yes.
Even though it's been a year and we've been, you know, grieving, it was so good to have that closure, even though it keeps going, as
yes.
we know. But just to have that, even, I mean, really, it's for the living to show up for each other
is.
And say,
we're here.
I'm here for you.
Yes.
I celebrate your mother. When I did Lila's memorial, I celebrate
yes.
who she was as a person living, but also who she is to you.
Yes.
I know who she is to you, to the family.
Yes.
As my dad said, you better show up at almost, he's like, every funeral you are invited to, you must attend.
Oh my God.
He said, that is my one lesson. He said a couple lessons. Never depend on anyone else to take care of you, which has been a problematic going forward in terms of my lone wolf status. But said never depend on anybody. You have to, but that, to be honest, was a great lesson for me as a woman to go, well, better have a great career,
yeah.
you know, because you just don't know. You don't know. But also, if you don't show up to someone's funeral, ain't nobody showing up to yours. So show up.
Well, it's so weird you say this because I don't know if we've talked about this before, but one of the, my dad had said several things that have really stuck with me, but one of them was people need you more at a wake than a wedding.
Ooh, Jesus, these Irish dads really get
I know.
Cut to the chase.
And yeah. I want to say something about this podcast because I do feel like there's sometimes I think, oh, am I not talking about my mom is maybe more intimate and private to me and like, mm-hmm. You know, like that I don't share as
yeah.
much about. But I love that. Because it's like she's harder to talk about because it's so, you know, it's
It's like unspoken. It's like, yeah. It's the most basic.
It really is.
It's like, it's just like,
you know what I think I really like? I guess sometimes I resent when people are like, oh, and people say this to me all the time having boys, like, boys love their moms. Then no one's going to love you like a boy. And I want to say, like, fuck you. Like, you don't know how I loved my own mother. You know, I feel like people disparage the mother-daughter relationship. Or think,
or they say, oh, get ready for when they're a teenager and they tell you they hate you. And I'm like, well, no.
No.
Not if you're truly, really, really bonded.
I know.
Like, I get terrified of that for BB and I because I don't want to ever. And I believe that I'm doing the work right now so that that won't happen.
And also, what I really resent about that is I resent that it pits women against each other.
And 100%
two women who are literally in the most primal, beautiful, sacred relationship against each other. And I'm like,
it's like, oh, the older and the younger, and I have to
competition
defeat
and
my mother to get,
and I'm like,
they have to push you away in order to become their own person. No, if you're doing a good job letting having someone have their space and be there. Listen, Pam, my other surrogate mom, my surrogate mom who passed, never did they have that with their daughters.
And I never had that with my mom. And I'm like, both of my sisters,
never.
I can speak for them, like, utterly devoted to my mother. Never.
I love that.
And I just, I really sometimes, and I know I say that because I feel like we bring in a lot of father energy on this podcast, and I love that. And I love, like, honoring the father, and I think it's so wonderful and beautiful. And I love talking to you about my dad because I don't know why I do feel like you and my dad are very connected in a crazy way. It's so wild. But
I totally feel that.
It's just so wild.
Well, do you remember though when Dan was sick, your father?
I know.
Would send Dan.
I know. I know.
Irish blessings and hang in there. And Dan was like, I feel this.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, he was very connected. I actually remember where I was telling him about Dan. I have such a memory of it.
It's so strange that he never met Dan.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. I have such a memory of it. That's crazy. But anyway, that was just something. And I love having boys, quote unquote, until they tell me otherwise. But I find it so damaging. Someone said it to me last night. Like, oh, you have two boys. Oh, you're so lucky. They love you. They're going to love you. Ooh, they're going to love you. And I'm like, yeah, sure. But first of all, like, they might not be boys forever. I don't know. And who the fuck cares about their gender? And you are disparaging my relationship with my mother or proposing that I couldn't love her as much because I'm a girl. Like, it really infuriates me.
Well, you know, and Kyle, a good old Carl Hornbauer, who, by the way, Kyle, and for those of you who haven't heard the episode, please go back. But Kyle plays my husband and always is my husband on every single television show. But Kyle got me a personalized watering can. It's a gift that says London 2021 engraved. Happy gardening. Love, Carl.
This man.
Such a fucking weird gift. But Carl, he's always schooling me about
and
things
that's
like
a wrap
this.
On. And can you please say the name again?
And that's a picture wrap on. Carl Hornbauer. I love Kyle so much. Kyle went home for 3 weeks and I felt like I was without a country. You know, I had to shoot without him, you know, because we have seen sometimes with other people, but like I just missed Kyle, you know. Yeah. The moment he was back, I ran out on Saturday. I was like, I gotta go see Kyle. And Dan was like, you're gonna be with Kyle 24 hours a day for 7 days. I was like, I gotta go see Kyle. Anyway, but Kyle has two boys and I think I said something like, well, they're boys. They'd never tell you anything. And he was like, that's just simply not true. And I'm like, you're fucking right. Why am I saying these things?
Stop saying these things.
They're very damaging.
They're very damaging.
They're damaging to the parent. They're damaging to the kid.
Yes.
Like, let's not have things that we say is going to happen because then maybe
these
it pushes
precious,
them to have that.
Precious little, like, divine lights, you know, as are we all. Oh, and please yes. do not like put us in boxes. And we're so much more than that. And it really does upset me. You know, Jessica, I feel so emotional. I'm crying again.
Me too. It's not even I just need to cry. And I need to just like, I just hate that we do that to children. I just hate that.
Like someone was telling me that, like, about their son, some woman, their son's like 4. And he said he like was playing with a little girl. And the other mom of the little girl said something like, something along the lines of like, he won't take no for an answer, just like any other man. And I was just like, oh, fuck you. Like,
wow.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you?
And you know what? I know it's not socially like appropriate to say fuck you to maybe a mom at a soccer game that you don't know. But Carl is not afraid to say it, yeah. you know, and I appreciate that. And so some ways I feel like we can just say, hey, let's back up, you know,
absolutely.
That's not all girls. That's not all boys.
They are children.
You want to hear something that made me, I wasn't going to bring this up, but it's really haunted me since I heard it. I was running through the heath, and now I've really been leaning into this type of no discipline parenting, like from that Peace and Parenting woman and that Dr. Becky. And it's really been so working, the connection and not the threats and not the yelling and not the punishment and reward and all of that, because it seems like that doesn't really work. And the other way of connecting really does. So I really encourage you deep divers to check it out. But I was running through the heath and I heard This little girl was not, I was listening to Millionaire Mind. So I was screaming out, I have a Millionaire Mind, doing my taps to my head. But I paused, of course, to do my affirmations, my money affirmations. And I ended up seeing this little girl who was saying, she was like, you know, maybe all of 5. And she's like, I don't want to walk anymore. Now, obviously, I've been there where you're at 45 minutes into a hike and your child says, fuck this, I'm not doing it. And you're like, oh, my God, you're ruining everything. Mm-hmm. You feel that. And I've certainly been in this woman's emotional state. But what I heard her say was, what? And I'm not going to do the accent, but what? What do you want? You've already ruined the morning. You've ruined it. Mm-hmm. What do you want? And I froze because I was like, God, that is such shame on this child for being 5. And I'm sure I have said out loud
I've
to be
definitely
like,
said those words.
You've ruined everything.
Yeah, I've definitely said this. Yeah.
Now that you've had your meltdown and everybody's Sunday is ruined. But I thought, boy, oh boy, that really isn't right for that little girl, because she's 5 and she doesn't understand what she's not trying to ruin everybody's morning. And I wanted to like scoop her up, you know, it just chilled me to the bone and stayed with me. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't pass judgment on this mom because, as I've said, I've been there, but I'm like, wow, if we all sort of knew what we were doing,
yeah,
you know,
because we've also, you and I have both been that little girl, both in our earlier lives and in our adulthood, feeling like we've ruined everything, you know, and that our emotions were too big and had no place and couldn't, you know, and were destructive and our feelings were going to like.
That's it too. I didn't realize. Yes, that's it.
You know, so it's like,
now that you've ruined everything, what do you want? And you know what? She probably wanted to be picked up and hugged and validated and said, God, you're 5. Walking through this heath like endlessly, which is what happens. You know, you get on one side of the heath and you got to walk 1.5 hours back because you just miscalculated. But that's hard for a 5-year-old. And if she had just been validated for a minute, she might have been able to keep going.
God,
This shit is hard. This shit is hard. And now, listen, deep divers, I was going to say, like, maybe I was trying to think of what we could do on Instagram this week to hear from you, because your childhood photos were really, really blew me away. And it was so special and stunning.
To see that self-love, that was such, that really was like,
it was really overwhelming.
Like, giving me this, like, feeling of energy and like, boy, why don't we do this more? Because everybody was writing on there. I hope everyone was following our stories to see all of them that we reposted saying, I love her. Yeah. Look what we've done. Look how we've made it.
Yeah.
You know, still the same. And to see the looks on those little girls' faces, like, I'm everything.
Totally.
Like, I am everything.
Totally. Well, I thought something we could do for this week, Jess, because I do appreciate you checking in. And I do feel like, even from across the pond, I know you've just been so understanding of this time for me. But, you know, I know you and Danielle haven't listened to the episode simply because, I can't switch to open up my email. And I know it's my own show. You know, I know that I'm the host of it, but I just haven't been able to check in on it.
Don't, please don't.
Honestly, I haven't been able to tend to it. But I know you and Danielle talked about something, which was, or at least I saw the hashtag, like, who is your, you talked about being each other's exit plan or exit.
Emergency exit. Emergency who's your emergency? Who would hide you, basically?
Who would hide you? So, deep divers, I would love to see this week who, and if you could post a picture of her or him or they,
I love that.
Who would hide you? So please post your pictures, tag that person. That's a really, really special person in your life. Jessica is one of my very, very special people. And we will repost and we would love, see who would hide you. And love to you all. Jessica, I can't wait to see you back here. I'm like, will I ever not see you in that room? You know, I'm so accustomed to this background now.
So dark.
It's so dark in here.
I turned the lights off just so that you could fully see where I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's dark. Very dark.
It's dark. Okay. It's dark in here.
And deep divers, we'll see you next week.
Love ya.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica, going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Anne Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnneGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.